Hello, and welcome to the live retail online integration webinar, When Mobile Marketing Becomes Mission Critical, New Rules for Successful 2012 Mobile Marketing Campaigns, sponsored by Aprimo. I'm Joe Keenan, Senior Editor of Retail Online Integration and the host of today's event. Joining me today to talk about mobile marketing and commerce are Michael Becker, North America Managing Director for the Mobile Marketing Association, a global nonprofit trade association established to foster growth of mobile marketing, Natasha Leger, President of ITF Advisors, a market intelligence and strategy advisory firm with a worldwide affiliate network of subject matter experts in technology, media, and communications, and Nick Gustafson, co-founder and chief technology officer at OmniAlert, a provider of intuitive communication technologies that keep communities safe and connected. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure to turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all the widgets and bells and whistles on this console. Speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. Without further ado, I'd like to turn it over to Michael Becker to get us started.
Wonderful. Thank you very much and welcome, everyone. I'm really excited to have the opportunity to speak with you and share some thoughts around what's going on in the world of mobile. I mean, when we look out there in the world, we look at this concept called mobile and/or mobility. And what we have to realize, it's a really big deal. I mean, it's a really big deal. Let's just take a look at some of the numbers. When we look at how mobile has become integral to our lives as consumers, we can take a look at this report that was recently published by eMarketer. And what they show us is they look at all the different types of devices and consumers' attitudes towards their use of these particular devices. And, you know, you'll see three of the top 10 devices, they're mobile devices. You know, the mobile phone, the smartphone, the tablet computer, and increasingly consumers, you know, are becoming more and more aligned to the use of these devices within their daily lives and are starting to say they can't live without them. Well, we can look at two other devices, the video game console and the e-reader. Well, these are mobile devices as well, and there's the ability to interact with the consumer and engage them through these devices is increasingly becoming apparent. But then we can also look at the other concepts, television, newspapers, magazines. Well, guess what? This content and these devices are, too, becoming mobile-enabled. Really, the odd man out is the personal computer. But as we think about the impact that mobility is having in our society, it's critically important for us to recognize the imperative of mobile that is in the hands of the consumer today. And from a business perspective, we want to take a look at what the former CEO of Google states. You want to put your best people on mobile. Moreover, we want to take a look at what Tim Armstrong from AOL just told us. You know, he's aiming to, within the next 18 months, have 10% of AOL's revenue driven from mobile advertising. Or if we want to take a look at just what's been happening with PayPal and eBay, eBay says they'll do roughly $5 billion in mobile sales this year. And PayPal expects that $3.5 billion in mobile payments and transmissions will happen in 2011. Critically, critically important if we think about the impact that these kind of numbers and these types of devices are having on our society. So what does the face of mobile marketing look like? Well, on one side, on the left side of the screen, you'll see an advertisement on the top of a mobile page. Or you can look at how Volkswagen launched a new car. So mobile social media only. That's the game and the top of the screen. Or you can look at the fact that mobile, it looks like text messaging, or it looks for, you know, when I'm checking my game scores on the screen, or in the case of the Axe commercial, this is a program that was done in Asia where nearly 35 million consumers engaged with this program, and sales increased by 300% simply by doing a voice-enabled marketing campaign. We can also look at other aspects of what mobile looks like. It looks, you know, rich media advertising, this idea that mobile is becoming an experience. And this is an example of a Seltra-powered ad done through the Weather Channel on a tablet computer. Hi, everybody. Sorry about that. For some reason, my phone just cut out. And so where, you know, Weston and the Weather Channel are showing how experience, how advertising is, in fact, becoming a unique experience to engage and interact with consumers. Or you can take a look like what ShopKick is doing in creating interactivity in a proximity-based program within retail. Or we can take a look at what CNN is doing by tiling the news experience and allowing consumers to create their own way of consuming content in a nonlinear way, unlike any other media channel's been doing before. We can also look at other aspects of what mobile marketing looks like. You know, K&G Brand putting point-of-sale call to action and inviting consumers to pull out their phone, text message in, and get the $5 off right when they're walking up to the register. And we can look at other, and if you want to follow up with me later, I can actually show you some of the results that programs like this are creating. 93% redemption rate, for example, of a coupon at point-of-sale display. Or you can look at, for instance, what Orange County Authority is doing. I'm standing at the bus stop. I text message into the bus stop, and I can find out what time the next bus is going to arrive. Really, really great for a customer service perspective. Allows me to get my solution engaged in real time. But also from a city's perspective, the city saved over $600,000 by being able to reduce call center staff in the process of the program. You can look at what the lottery program is doing up in Canada and how they had people running around at a live venue event and creating contests through the use of mobile. And, again, we have great case studies we can show you there. Or patient reminders being delivered from Kaiser. Another example of what mobile may look like, too, is programs of what, you know, say a company, a hyper-local marketing network, has done with Jaguar. And they're using a search and in-app engagement and 2D barcodes and traditional media, all driving to a persistent mobile presence and a unique way of engaging and interacting with consumers. And doing so in a really sensitive way, recognizing that some consumers, say, on an iPhone will want a different experience than, say, those consumers on a BlackBerry, and a unique way about going about doing that. This is what we mean when we think about and talk about the mobile experience. Now, further, you know, let's take a step back and think about this. You know, I'm sure many of you have seen the movie Jaws, and if you haven't, I encourage you to go to this movie clip on the screen. And we won't take the time to play it now. You can go check it out on YouTube. But I want to focus on a particular screen in the movie. There's one screen in the movie where, you know, the actor is chummy. So basically what he's doing, he's throwing blood into the water to attract the shark, to encourage and invite an engagement. And that's exactly what we do as marketers. We chum. We go out and we throw messages out in the market. We invite consumers to engage and interact with us through various campaigns and initiatives. And then just like in the movies, you know, the shark shows up. And so there can be this major disruption. In this case, the shark was a lot bigger than he expected. And he stands up and he has this realization of, oh, wow, that's a really big shark. You know, I don't know if you remember the line in the movie then. What he does is he stumbles back into the wheelhouse of the boat, and he says, well, we need a bigger boat. Well, guess what? As marketers, we need to recognize that there are many faces of marketing. There are many aspects and devices and ways consumers are looking at engaging us through this concept of mobile marketing, and we really need to have a bigger boat in terms of how we go about developing our strategy. Many of the factors that you need to think about in mobile, for instance, are the unique mobile media paths of downloading, browsing, messaging, you know, how we're going to use voice channels, proximity channels, or content. We also want to look at how, you know, trade groups like the MMA will help organizations stimulate and foster growth. We'll want to look at how these unique aspects interact with various market verticals, how the different device platforms affect and facilitate an impact on the marketplace, how different business objectives will do that, as well as the unique enablers of the devices and the unique media paths, such as our ability to, you know, use location or serve advertising or drive analytics. We'll also want to look how the traditional media channels affect the campaign, because it's mobile, as we saw just in the faces of mobile. It's not just about engagement through the mobile device, the marketing with mobile. It's also in the marketing with mobile as we mobile enable traditional media. And then we'll look at the life cycle issues too. How does that experience change across the different aspects and paradigms? And so when we look in as marketers, when we think about how we're going to engage consumers through marketing, we need to think about all of these phases of marketing and all of the factors. And the opportunity or strategy or the fact that as businesses, what we need to do is how we rationalize each one of these different factors to develop a unique strategy that helps us deliver value to our consumers. I'm going to leave you with 9 kind of fundamentals to help you think through that process. The first fundamental is, you know, imagine a world where 50% of your business relies on the mobile channel. Not just marketing through the mobile channel, but with the mobile channel. And so you want to be thinking about what does that mean to your business and take into consideration those factors. The next fundamental I'm going to leave you with is remember that mobile is the now media. It's a very personalized media. Increasingly, consumers are pulling out their phone and conducting mobile search. And when they do that, they respond within a matter of hours to engaging and interacting through the mobile device. The consumer is that connective tissue that binds the digital experience we have with our consumer through the traditional media engagement. We also want to be thinking about the fact that we need to put the consumer first. It's all about our needs to deliver value to the consumer, but the consumer is really the one that's in the control. It's their need that we need to serve, and we need to put the consumer first when we're thinking about experiencing and providing experiences to the consumer, just like I talked in the Jaguar example. And what we need to learn is that the different device types, the different objectives that the consumer has, the different objectives that a particular initiative marketing campaign may have will be very unique, and we need to be considering all of those various elements and factors. Fundamental 4, we need to be thinking about having a persistent mobile presence. As more and more consumers are adopting these mobile devices, they're becoming less and less tolerant of having an experience that is not optimized for their particular device of choice at the particular time that they're choosing to access their brand. Some recent research that just came out, for example, noted that nearly 40% of consumers will abandon a long-term relationship with a brand if they've had a poor commerce mobile experience. So, and again, this is research I can happy to share with you if you want to follow me later. You also need to be thinking about, and the next fundamental is that mobile is an imperative, and you must have a plan. Wendy Clark from Coca-Cola, Senior Vice President there, says if your plans do not include mobile, then your plans are not done, because mobile has infused itself in all aspects of our society and our business. And again, the next fundamental would be we need to think about how mobile varies across every stage of the customer life cycle. It's not a one-size-fits-all in any step of the way with the way we engage consumers. So, for example, if you're doing incentives to engage the consumer, every single one of your messages can't be buy more and here's a discount to do it. You need to be thinking about how you mature and cultivate the relationship with the consumer throughout that process. We need to recognize that mobile is an incredibly measurable channel, and how are you going to integrate analytics programs and the capability to measure the engagement you have with consumers at every stage of the consumer life cycle across all of the plans you have across the mobile mediums as well as the engagement with traditional media, and we have tools to help you do that. You also need to be thinking about the other fundamentals. For example, how do you be innovative, creative, and disruptive with the tools, but at the same time make sure that you're aligned with various regulatory regulations, both those put out by our industry itself, such as the recent universal advertising guidelines the MMA put out, but as well as the various legislation that's coming down from the Hill. The next fundamental we need to be thinking about, number 9, is we want to look at, you know, how do you nurture and nourish partnerships within the industry? Because mobile can be quite complex as just looking at this mobile lumascape from a mobile advertising perspective. And so you need to be thinking about when you're developing your strategy, how do you pull all these different players together? And then finally, which is what's core with this, with our discussion today, you need to be thinking about how do you keep learning in the process. So as Einstein pointed out, once you stop learning, you start dying. And so we need to be looking at all of the aspects and start teasing out each part of this business when we're engaging and interacting with our consumers to be able to really focus on delivering value to them, understanding how you as an individual are learning how to use these tools and these capabilities in this process of engaging consumers through this incredibly exciting medium, but also how your business is going to go about doing it, how you educate your consumers to leverage all of the value that can be had through the medium. So this set kind of sets us up with where mobile is going, how we can start developing and leveraging different frameworks to understand it, and key 10-9 fundamentals that you want to bring into your thought process as you're engaging with mobile. if you have any questions about anything that I've raised today, feel free to, you know, ask them now throughout the presentation, and or you can always follow up with me in the contact with my contact information here. And so with that, I'd now like to hand it off to Natasha and let her help us understand another side of the story of mobile marketing and how we move it as a whole engagement process forward.
Thank you so much, Michael. That was a great introduction. I just want to add to Joe's introduction about me on consulting. I also am the CEO of the Location Forum, which was recently founded a few months ago, which is a nonprofit membership-based industry association. We focus on resources, frameworks, and best practices and white papers for more information around location. So you can always go to Location Forum after my presentation today, and I'm also editor of the LBX Journal, which is a digital quarterly magazine on location intelligence. So just that is some additional background and the perspective from which I'll be coming from today. So I'm going to talk about location and location data in particular. We can't talk about mobile today without talking about location. And so what does that really mean? So location data is anything that references place, anything that references a geographical point, and that can be a map, that can be GPS, that can be GIS information, it can be geotagged photos, it can be georeferenced information from a CRM system, from a business intelligence system, social media, and the temporal factor, as well as any unstructured data that comes out of documents and videos. So location is really the story of where you've been, where you are, and where you're going. Much of the conversation in marketing today around location is in targeted advertising and delivering coupons. What's important is what's behind all that, and that is the geo-analytics on your market and your customers that is now possible. So location is important because it influences psychographics, demographics, behavior, the interests of your target customers. It influences predictive analytics and preferences. It's important because it determines relevancy, how people share and interact with information, where their friends are. Oops. Oh, sorry about that. Where their friends are. Alexis, these builds don't seem to be working on the slides. Okay, let's just leave that there. So it influences how you interact with your friends, the information that you share with your friends, work, stores that you go to, restaurants that you eat at, the entertainment that you engage with. So location is what allows you to anticipate the needs and responsiveness of your customers. So why does it matter from a mobile perspective? I'm going to talk a little bit about what's not generally understood about location. And that is that the mobile device is not only a communications device, but it's also a data collection device. All cell phones can now be tracked. So they really act as sensors and human sensors, if you will. And a lot of information can be derived from location. And this is where we would get into the how location can be used to help with customer loyalty and customer experience. But before we get into that, let me talk a little bit about some of the issues that people don't tend to look at when it comes to location data, because it creates the opportunity not only to more effectively connect with your customer because because the cell phone is acting as a sensor, but also because location offers the ability for inference. So you can connect lots of different pieces of data about your market, about your customer, that offers a new.
Hi, this is we seem to have lost Natasha here for a second. Maybe I think it'll be best if we just pass it on to Nick, and hopefully Natasha can join us back, back with us, and then she'll pick up on her part of the presentation. Nick, you mind stepping in here?
No, that's perfectly fine. Let me just get the slides here. All right, everyone. I'm going to take a slightly different tack on what you need to know about SMS or mobile marketing. In this case, I'm going to focus on the SMS marketing a little bit. And when I say marketing done right, it simply means that there's a couple of pitfalls that everyone will fall into at some point if they're not aware of them. And in our business, we're in the critical content communications business. That is for us to deal or disseminate information about threats, about safety issues, and things of that nature. But over 6,000 customers around the country using the service every single day, we have a lot of experience with what works and what doesn't. And whereas others, we're in the mobile marketing just like you are, let's put it this way, where others may sell a thing, a service, a product, a pair of jeans, whatever it might be, we sell safety. But we still have to market to our customers the same way. An individual who goes to a college someplace, for instance, is still in need of being sold that service by the college. So we are very, very proficient at getting this point across. So let's see here now. We are going to first, let's examine what the power of SMS really is all about. And I'm focusing on SMS versus MMS, the multimedia aspect of it, only so that we can address the lowest common denominator. And, of course, the big deal there is that the ubiquity of the handsets today, having SMS available to them, makes them a perfect platform. It's always an intuitive interface. Most people who are your target audiences today are going to be people who know very well how to use an SMS platform. And the subscription model is very, very logical. You get involved with campaign, for instance, or whatever it might be, through very easy channels. Joe, I hear Natasha coming back on.
Natasha.
Natasha, would you like to pick up where you left off, Natasha?
Sure, as long as I'm not interrupting your flow of thought here.
You're only a couple slides away, so why don't you go back to you and I'll come back to mine.
Okay, perfect. I think that'll be a good segue into your discussion. So I was just going through the issues, the opportunities, and challenges around location data because of the fact that the cell phone is really a human sensor. And so what's important for marketers to be aware of is the sensitivity of the location data and how to use location data as a means of really building customer loyalty. Oftentimes in marketing, we talk about location in terms of targeted advertising, but it's what's really important and the opportunity here that location creates is a new way of connecting with your customer. So in this slide, what we have here is the inner ring where you have the customer and the different ways that location information can be derived. So that can be explicit in terms of a customer indicating where they are, so whether that's a check-in app. It's also implicit in the ability to track where your customer is going. As I was indicating before, is every cell phone can now be tracked. So there are lots of opportunities now, for example, to track customers in in stores. Casinos have been doing this in terms of their Wi-Fi networks. So in terms of being able to understand that sensitivity of information that is moving back and forth between the implicit and the explicit use of location is really critical. And the piece that I think very important for marketers is to understand what it is that customers know that is being tracked about them. Despite opt-ins and despite some of the fine print that is in terms of use, oftentimes customers really don't know how their information is being utilized, and this can cause a bit of angst and distrust between the advertiser, the company, and the customer itself. One of the great examples that I like to use of how location and mobile can be used to foster increased customer loyalty is what's happening around the food safety issues. A number of supermarket chains are starting to utilize their customer loyalty cards, not just to push coupons, but also to be able to advise their customers of, for instance, when there's a food recall. So it creates this trust back and forth between the customer and between the company. And I think this is very, very important. And so what I'd like to do now is turn it over to Nick to talk more about how you really execute upon location-relevant information.
All right. Thank you very much, Natasha. Let's go back to where we left off here. One of the things you said towards the very end there is all these relationships that you will have with the consumer has to start someplace. And that's where I'm trying to concentrate our little talks here now is the mechanics, if you will, of what you need to do in order to get that going and what pitfalls you might fall into. So let's just review the slide real quick again. Everybody heard it the first time. But the power of the SMS component in particular is how ubiquitous the handsets are, how easy it is to operate the user interfaces for your target audience, and the subscription model itself. And the subscription model, of course, is how do you opt in, for instance, and things like that. So what do you need to get started? You need to have a short code. And how do we get one of those is important enough, and how do we use it? So let's talk about what it is. The short code is basically a mobile phone number for a computer or a server, if you will. They are not something that you just go out and buy. It is a well-guarded resource, if you will, that you go through by submitting your proposal for what you're going to use it for. It is then deemed worthy or not worthy, and from that point on, you will have it assigned. It is something that's rented, generally on either month-by-month or year-by-year basis. And how we use that is by assigning this to a particular path, as it were, for traffic to come in from, and, of course, when you send it out, knowing who you are. This, in turn, brings up the next player in the drama, and that is the aggregators. If anyone out there have ever sent a text message back and forth to any one of your favorite services, chances are very good it went through an aggregator. An aggregator is a company who maintains the relationship with the larger carriers on behalf of you and also on behalf of them. It turns out, of course, as if you were, say, AT&T or whatever it might be, you may not feel it is in your best interest to run thousands of customers out there who are directly connecting to you. Instead, you have a smaller number, perhaps a dozen or so, perhaps even less, some cases, aggregators who have strong relationships. There's an important cost component to this where it becomes very expensive to operate it. So the aggregator's function basically is a middleman who has the relationships and the technology to take your information in an easy-to-digest format usually and pass it on to the carriers and basically just turning this otherwise cumbersome process into something very enjoyable and easy to do. The importance of it should be straightforward enough. If you don't have it, you practically speaking right now do not have a campaign to be running because there is no direct line between an individual with a short code and the carriers. There will be an aggregator in the middle. Should also point out that you can have the aggregator manage the short code provisioning for you, which is always a great idea as well. Now, aggregators versus SMTP-based SMS. And I have to bring this up because there is the lowest hanging fruit in the world is for someone to say, oh, my God, I can send a text message or rather an email to my mobile phone number at fillinyourcarrier.com or whatever it is. And you say to yourself, oh, this is it. I don't have to bother with any of that shortcut stuff or anything else. Well, there's a couple of problems with that. Problem number one is that, first of all, you are not going to be welcome at the carrier for very long if you get any volume going at all. This is a convenience service that was put in place some time ago. They convert the email into SMS. They take the hit on it. They certainly don't make any money on it. They lose money everywhere, and so on. And anyone who tries to make a commercial enterprise based on this backbone is immediately going to be sent on their trash heap. It is also important to realize that as a convenience service, it's a best effort process and it's not always very effective. You can also not initiate mobile-originated traffic, someone standing with the phone in their hand, reading the sign outside of the store saying, text us now and we'll get you a coupon. That's not going to happen using this model. But it is very tempting to people when they first start out, so stay away from that. The next portion, of course, is that once you have the aggregator, once you have your short code and you are now up and running, is that what does the acquisition of subscriber look like? There are three basic components. Mobile opt-in is the one you're probably most familiar with. This is the one where you read it on the newspaper, you read it on the magazine, on TV, you hear it on the radio, you see on the road signs, in the mall, wherever it be, text something to, and then it's the short code itself. That's the mobile opt-in. Generally speaking, you send a text message in. The server on the receiving side remembers your phone number, says, okay, that guy wants to know, and sends back something saying, you have subscribed, good for you. The double opt-in is sort of the same thing except with one extra step, and that is that you may be on a website someplace, and you say, oh, I would love to know when you have specials on. You type in your information, the phone number, on the website. At this point, a message is sent to your mobile phone to which you have to reply yes or something similar in order to confirm that that was, in fact, your intention and not just your roommate in college who was goofing with you and signing you up for everything there ever was. And then the free subscriber opt-in, which is something that's coming on really good these days, is somewhat new. And it's basically the number two option here, except that all the traffic that goes to the subscriber is free. And the reason from that being free is that it's not necessarily user-initiated traffic. It could literally be that a organization reaches out with this in mind because it is free and says, you have shown interest in this following product. Would you like to sign up? It is a free message. And, of course, in many cases, it's a form of marketing in and of itself, and as a result, you don't necessarily want to charge the user for getting your marketing message. The keyword concept is very important. We have an ability here to, of course, use one short code for multiple things. And that's very important if you imagine that you have many different campaigns, for instance. You could have lotteries, you could have different products, you can have seasonal things, whatever it might be. So a short code, as most of you have seen before, is basically a way to direct the information into a particular slot or whatever you want to call it. The way, of course, they're used for those who in the audience who may not have ever used it, by texting the short code first, to the short code, the keyword, and then after that, possibly additional information if that's warranted, the computer on the receiving side knows what in particular you're interested in. Now, anyone can use them as long as you have the technology to do so. The idea here is that the receiving computers, if you will, the servers, call what you want, has to be able to understand what that means. Your favorite aggregator, generally speaking, offers services of this very nature. There are certainly quite a few mobile marketing firms out there who will give you the complete package end-to-end, that might very well be the way to go for that. Now, ad insertion is a very interesting and an up-and-coming model for the SMS traffic. We use it quite a bit ourselves and with great success, it's a way of monetized content, of course. We are talking about where something that somebody has already requested, and I'll give you an example. Let's say that you are using your coaching or your child is part of a little league. There is a rain event. The game has been canceled for a while. A text message is sent out saying that the game has been delayed by 3 hours or whatever it might be. Those messages can then be sponsored by someone at the bottom. It may say at the bottom, brought to you by local pizza shop. And those kind of insertions, and it's proven to us over the years, if it's minimum, that when someone has asked for valuable content, not just things that they have hope will become valuable, but they know it's valuable. Because when they don't have to drive down to the field and back, that's valuable. And when that's sponsored by someone, that person who sponsored it are also valuable. That's one-to-one correlation there has been proven over and over and over. And the customer loyalty on the ad insertion in the context that you have great, valuable content is great in our case. We have seen a lot of numbers on that. The way it would work, simply speaking, is that any message going out would have a mention at the bottom that is basically the similar thing to listening to public radio where, you know, this program brought to you by. You know, it is now nothing new there. It is just new in the text messaging space. And then context versus location. I'm not at all a location expert in the same way that Natasha is, but I do know one thing about it, and that is that there is a difference between the context in which you want to receive your messages and the location you're in. Speaking not to the location side, but rather to the context side, if I'm always interested in getting ads about a particular subject or from a particular location, from a particular organization, the context of my message is generally speaking in the right area. You will have, for instance, if you are a Little League and you're local, you may very well have local businesses as your context that matters to you. It might also be that you have, I don't know, Nike or someone else who produces some sort of sporting goods that you might be using. It doesn't necessarily matter where you are in the location of GPS because you are within the location of the context of who you get the messages from, the county or whatever happens to be. So keep that in mind as well, that there is a low-tech version to location that can play very nicely with the high-tech version of location and get an even better solution in place. And, of course, we absolutely will not spam our customers, right? The idea here is that once someone signs up for a topic, and that topic, let's say, is, I don't know, movie times or whatever it might be, they will never receive anything from you on any other subject than they signed up for. There's no quicker way to alienate your customer than to have a bait and switch on them. You can, of course, never sell the phone numbers. That's not what they're for. They're for you to message to. They're never any other purposes. Again, that is just bad practice for us all. And they're disrespecting the privacy of the individual is all these and other things as well. There's no faster way out of business than that. It will hurt us all. And I just want to stretch that because it is important, even though it might be tempting to use this wealth of data for evil, so to speak. Do not do that. Do not take that temptation. And that's really what I'm going to leave you today. And I hope you have enjoyed this conversation. And thank you very much for listening.
Thanks, Nick. We have about some time here for questions. I just want to remind everyone that you can use the Q&A box on your console to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll get started here on the questions. The first question I have, and any of the three speakers can address this, is do you have any recommendations on the best mobile platforms? And then a second, you know, follow-up to that, if a merchant is setting up a mobile-optimized site and offers online payments, what do they need to do to ensure they offer a seamless mobile payment commerce experience?
Wow, those are great questions. Maybe I can jump in and start with that and then let my colleagues on the call follow up. So there's a couple of points. You know, as you saw in the multidimensional cube of all the factors that may influence your strategy on how you successfully leverage the mobile channel. To really answer that platform question, that's going to completely depend on a number of key factors. Who is your customer? You know, what demographic, what location, is it international or not? So, for example, if you're in North America, you very well may want to consider having a mobile web, mobile app, and messaging presence. However, if you're focused on some of the developing country markets, you know, your really only value channel is going to be text messaging because the consumer does not yet have smartphones or doesn't use them. So before you kind of answer the platform discussion, you're going to want to ask yourself, you know, what kind of service, you know, who's your customer, what kind of services do you want to deliver, and how are you going to go about doing that? you then want to take a step back and say, okay, once you understand that, you want to think about, you know, how you want to go about and which approach you want to take in implementing the mobile strategy. Accessing a platform may not necessarily be the right choice for you. There are four basic approaches to doing mobile marketing, what we'll call an agency approach, where you have your objectives and you have somebody else do it for you. A do-it-yourself approach, where you try to build all the tools yourself. A platform approach, where you actually license a platform, such as a text messaging service, and or builders that help you build applications and or mobile websites. Or a hybrid approach, where you take a combination of outsource and insource activities to build strategy, to develop your execution platforms, to build out your content, to then pull together all of your analytics and related capabilities that you may need to have. So there's a fairly series of robust conversations that you need to have with that. If you want to find a list of good vendors, not to be overly salesy or promotional, the MMA, if you go to our website, mmaglobal.com, on the bottom right corner, you'll see what we call the industry supplier directory. And you can go there and you'll find a list of over 2,300 companies in the industry that provide different services with mobile marketing. And if you're focusing on specific things like mobile advertising, you may want to check out the Mobile Lumascape. That kind of helps you out on the platform discussions. And again, you can always follow up with me and I can send you some additional supporting material there. As for the commerce discussion, that's really going to really depend on what you're trying to accomplish. And if you have an existing e-commerce system, you certainly can integrate your mobile web presence with that existing e-commerce system, and there's players that can help you out there. If you're starting from scratch, you, again, can go to the supplier directory, and you'll be able to find some different mobile commerce players that can help you out. I really encourage you to go check out sites like Steve Madden, who's just done a fantastic job and seen tremendous results of creating an optimized mobile web presence tied together with a very streamlined mobile commerce experience to really drive revenue and value for the customer. Zappos does a really good job with that as well. I'll leave you with one final point, though, and remember that, you know, as we think about, and as the eBay and PayPal examples, or, you know, Starbucks just recently announced this morning that they've conducted over 26 million mobile transactions via their applications. We need to remember it's not just about the commerce transaction through mobile, i.e. the exchange of value via the mobile device itself. But more importantly, what we're seeing is that it's also about the mobile-influenced transaction at traditional retail. Namely, consumers are pulling out their phone, finding the information they need to make an informed purchase decision, like this is a product I want and which store is nearby buying me to go get it. Natasha talked about it in terms of some of those location services. And then they're, in fact, using mobile to drive them to the store and make the transaction at traditional point of sale. And that is as equally important, if not more so today, to the overall commerce discussion than, say, how do I actually facilitate and make that payment through the mobile device?
Great. Natasha or Nick, do you guys have anything to add on that?
I was going to say that was very, very comprehensive. The only thing I would add on the location side is that there are clearly a number of companies that are seeking to help organizations both in terms of indoor and outdoor navigation and geo analytics that people can turn to.
Okay. Next question I have in is from one of our audience members. Says that their business is really at ground zero when it comes to mobile marketing. What is the first step a company like that should take, you know, trying to get its mobile program up and running?
If I can just jump in there. So really the first step, again, is, you know, understand who your customer is, and congratulations for you for recognizing the mobile imperative and that you have to do something. So the first step is, you know, recognize that you have to do something, and then figure out where you want to go. For Coca-Cola, the way they look at it is they take a tiered approach, recognizing the parameters of, say, reach. You know, from a brand like a Coca-Cola, what's key to them is broad reach on a national scale, if not global scale. So for them, text messaging is the most ubiquitous capability from a mobile perspective that they can leverage to accomplish that broad reach and scale. So you'll see that they've done some incredible work with, text messaging-based loyalty programs and related activities. The next step for them was to recognize that they needed to have a persistent and optimized mobile web presence across all of the different devices American handsets. For example, in North America, there's over 1,100 different handsets in the market. And so you want to get a good mobile web presence that provides the appropriate amount of information in the mobile web experience. And so for many, it's like a small business. That appropriate amount of information just may be, here's the address to my offices and how to get there. And then finally, you want to start thinking about your app strategy and how you're going to maintain those apps and how you're going to promote them and move them forward. So I would take a tiered approach and think about in parallel the messaging mobile web discussion, and then consider how you're going to build out apps. And then obviously within all of that, you consider what's your strategy, what's your objective, what value are you delivering to your customer, what value does your business need, how you're going to manage the content and maintain the program, and then how you're going to find your partners and maintain those partner relationships.
Okay. Next question I have in relates to Foursquare, and the audience member would like to know how a marketer can effectively use that social media platform with mobile devices.
Natasha, you want to grab that one?
Yeah, I'll take that one. So that's obviously a check-in type of a technology, and that is used to really collect information around what your customers are interested in. So it acts not only as a social media platform, it acts as essentially a business intelligence platform, and also the ability to share information about interests and connect to various businesses. So it is really a very comprehensive platform that can be utilized in your marketing mix.
Yeah, and to add to that, I mean, again, it's all a key part of the discussion with mobile marketing today is that customer advocacy, meaning that customers, when they check in at your business or with a particular program, they're raising their hand to their community and saying, I value the relationship I have with you, and you really want to respect and leverage that. And there are a lot of ways you can go accomplishing that. For small businesses, you really don't need much more than point-of-sale signage that encourages the customer to check in, walk up to the register, and show the screen that they have, in fact, checked in. And to the extent that you can tie that in with internal process, maybe you offer the consumer some form of incentive, like a free cookie or discount off on that latte. That's kind of the easy, low barrier to entry way to engage and interact with the Foursquare type services. They've just recently launched some really interesting APIs, though, that can tie into your back-end systems and your CRM programs. If you have the opportunity to invest in developing different types of badges, if you will, from the gamification side of the business, you'll want to think about that as well and really stimulate that advocacy where you encourage people to check in more and more, to become the mayor, to get the badge, to tie in and affiliate themselves with your brand. And so that intersection between social and mobile media is something that absolutely should not be ignored.
Okay. Another question we have here is around iPads and whether you consider metrics comparable for the iPad versus other mobile devices. Can you talk about – can one of you address that?
Yeah, sorry to keep – do you guys want to grab it or should I jump in?
Paul, I'll tell you, this is Nick. I'm just going to add the following, that in our world, the iPad is directly connected to the cellular network has not been a particularly large platform. So if anything at all, it does not apply to us, and I'm not sure, Michael, if you have some other insight in it, but by all means, go ahead.
Yeah, I think part of the way to look at it is, the messaging side of the business is really key. As we mentioned in the Coke reference, it's a great way of maintaining ongoing and interactive relationship with your consumer. And the location element that Natasha brought up is core to the future of mobile marketing, because it's one of the key elements that are used for creating relevance and context with consumer engagement. What we've learned from tablet computers is that it is absolutely a unique and different medium than, say, a smartphone or a feature phone or related mobile devices. And in many ways, what we're starting to see is it's not only a primary medium of content consumption. So consumers are using their mobile device to research and read books and watch video content. They're also using that tablet computer as a second screen, often to interact, say, while they're watching television while they're watching television, they'll use the tablet computer as a secondary screen to interact with the TV itself and or to respond or to do research or alternative activities while they're watching TV. Again, a very multitasking experience. Unlike, say, the smartphone, which is more of an action-oriented medium, I'm going to do less and less research on a smartphone device and take more action, conduct a search, and then respond to the result of that search versus, say, what I'm doing on a tablet computer. What's really interesting, though, in the closing keynote of the Mobile Marketing Forum in Los Angeles by Weather Channel and Insight Express and Sears, what they talked about was the additive effect of multiple channels and the multi-channel effect that must be considered in marketing. And what Joy from Insight Express and Paul were able to show us is that, you know, the tablet computer is very much a mobile device and very much an iterative part of the process, so much so that if you combine, say, mobile advertising in this example on cable and web with a smartphone and a tablet, you see like 21x in engagement. And again, you can follow up with us. We're happy to share some of that research and results. So it's one of the pieces. It's one of the mixes. It's a very unique device and consumer medium. And then the one other thing I'll raise in this point is recognize that increasingly consumers are expecting a pause and resume experience. They're going to, for instance, start an experience on the tablet. Then they may switch over to their smartphone when they're out of the house because, again, more often than not, tablet computers are being used at night in home, and as the Insight Express research has shown us. And then they're going to use their smartphone, but then they may come back to their computer and expect to pick up where they left off with your experience. So think about, too, as you're cultivating that experience with your consumer, how will that experience migrate itself from device to device throughout the day? And recognize that every one of these device touch points, as I said in the very second slide that I introduced, is that all of these devices are critically important to their consumer experience and becoming more so every day.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to echo that as well, and I think the important piece about tablets as well as smartphones in the apps environment is the amount of information that you're able to collect, certainly from a location perspective, and then also be able to correlate that information across applications. And that can be done at multiple touch points. Either that's from the app developer side of things, or that's from the device manufacturer side of things. So the tablet as a form factor is extremely critical and also offers a lot of visualization and interactivity touch points for the customer.
Great. Another question we have here is regarding QR codes and specifically to QR codes in a restaurant setting. The audience member asks about wanting to get the guests of the restaurant to take a survey. Any best practices around using QR codes within a restaurant environment?
Yeah, absolutely. The MMA just came out with a QR code best practices white paper, so you can either go to mmaglobal.com and email me, and we'll make sure you get that. The thing to consider about QR codes is when you place that code on the point of sale display, you need to make sure that you have instructions on how to use it. Not everybody knows how to use it, and not everybody knows that they have to actually have a scanner that can read the code. So a best practice would be on the point of sale display, you know, create the 1, 2, 3 instruction. Scan this code. If you don't have a scanner, go to your app store and download the scanner. This is how to do it, and then show them how to do the code. You want to then also make sure that the the information that the code is linking to, such as downloading an app or going to a mobile website to take that server, survey, and or to trigger a text message if you're going to use text messages as a means of delivering the survey. You've got to make sure that the survey instrument is optimized for the mobile experience that you've chosen. So you make sure that the mobile website actually works. One of the biggest mistakes I've seen people do is they direct them to a broadband website to take the survey, and then they just get a lousy experience and move on. And then finally, make sure that you're putting appropriate terms and conditions and policy, a privacy policy request, inviting the consumer to opt in for ongoing engagement with you, and use that experience to further the relationship that you may have with them. And then finally, recognize that there are a lot of different codes. QR codes are just one of, 40-plus different types of codes. And, again, the MMA white paper can help you learn more about them.
Okay. Another question we have here is in regards to deciding what works best for your brand, developing a mobile app, a mobile-optimized website, possibly both. What are the factors that you should consider when making that decision?
You guys want to take some of that?
Yeah. This is Nick. I'll definitely do that. We have this very issue, if you will, and there's definitely a scenario where you want to present the user with the proper context in which they're seeking the information. So basically the mantra we go with is that you give the customer this experience that they're trying to consume. So if they show up on a mobile phone, we got to have a mobile phone specific content coming back to them. If they show up on a tablet, we do the same. If they show up on the web, we do the same. And I think that Michael touched on it just a moment ago, that if you have it could be a very, very fluid and interactive experience come to a grinding halt because you send them over to content that is made for a medium other than the one they're using, that is obviously a big boo-boo. So making sure that you understand that you want to have the lightest and most simplified experience possible, because when people are in a busy day and they're doing their thing, less is always more in this case. So definitely.
Yeah, and my comment is it's not an either or. In the end of the day, your consumers are mobile. Depending on your audience, you may need to have all of the mobile touch points as part of your strategy, but how you go about rolling them out will depend on your budget, depending on your internal objectives, depending on what you're trying to get accomplished within the business. So what you want to really think about but as we all know, we all can't do everything all at once. So, going back to the Coca-Cola example, start with messaging, go to mobile web, then think about an app strategy may be an appropriate way for you. However, if your audience is, that 20-something on iPhones, then you'd better have an app right out of the gate. Otherwise, you're going to have a challenge in maintaining an ongoing relationship with them. So there are a number of factors that you need to think through, and ultimately it starts with your customer. Who's your customer? What are they doing in the mobile sphere? And there's a number of audience measurement tools and various custom and research that's out there that can help you kind of figure that out. And you might want to check out like the Pew Internet Research. It's a good research. MarketingCharts.com is a good resource. MMA is a fantastic resource for helping you find that out. And then there's various audience measurement services out there that you can leverage.
I'd like to just add to that and say that whatever you choose to do and across those multiple platforms is that there's a location transaction that takes place across that. So you really want to understand the data that you need, what's important to your marketing objective, and then also what are the risks of utilizing that data.
Okay.
So being able to track the location connections across applications, devices, and platforms is really critical.
Okay, thanks, everyone. Well, looks like we're just about out of time for today. I want to take this opportunity on behalf of Retail Online Integration and Aprimo to thank you for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get more information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. If you would take just a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next, we'd be very grateful. Your feedback will influence the webinars we bring to you in the future. Thanks again, and I hope to see you at the next Retail Online Integration webinar.